Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name is Paul Garrigan and today we have a very special guest.
Thank you so much, Paul, for having me. My name is Paul Churchill with the Recovery Elevator Podcast.
Great to have you here. Paul, you've been staying with us for about a week, is it?
Yeah, I've been here since, I believe, the 5th or 6th of January, and it has been a pleasure, an absolute pleasure to be here. In fact, actually, I want to flatter you too much on the air, right, Paul, but when I was struggling, when I was in the depths of my drinking, I searched for podcasts about recovery, and I found your podcast. And when I first met you, I heard your voice. And internally, I've already heard your voice hours and hours. I was like, wait a second, where do I know this guy from?
I'm surprised you understood me.
Yeah, like you said, the 30.
Yeah, the accent.
Yeah. Everything's dirty. No, he's just saying 30.
Yeah. See, so you learn to speak Irish, basically.
I love the dialect, and I love what you've done. And I have to personally say thank you, because there was a lot of difficult times when I was drinking, and I'd simply pop on your podcast. I mean, this is 2014, and it got me through a lot of tough moments. So I got to say thank you very much for that.
So what's your impressions of Thailand?
First off,
is it your first time?
First time ever to Thailand, right? And I got to tell you right now, this is the third shirt that I wore today because it is humid. I am from a place called Montana, top left, northwest part of the United States of America. And we have this thing called dryness, no humidity, and extreme cold at this moment. When I got on the airplane, it was -3 degrees Fahrenheit. And right now, it is stark contrast. It's probably 35 degrees Celsius with probably 80% humidity. But Thailand.
So a huge change for you.
Yeah, in general weather wise. But let me tell you right now, the Thai people, this culture is extremely friendly. And I'm not here to do the Phuket, the beaches, the snorkeling, and the scuba diving. I've been sober a little over 2 years, and I'm here to recover. And what I've seen right now so far from the people, just in the shops and the people that work here at Hope Rehab, Thailand, it's absolutely amazing, and I love this country, and I cannot wait to come back. Let's put it that way.
And so tell me this. So you mentioned your recovery. I mean, and I know an important part of your new life is your podcast and your community you've built. Can we get right in there and just start talking about that community and why it's important for you?
Well, I'll go back to the kind of the original roots of how the podcast happened. By the grace of my higher power, I got sober, and about 2 months into sobriety, I was walking into an AA meeting, and I started ducking and dodging behind trees, and I said, you know what, this is complete BS, because it's the stigma that's just as dangerous as the alcohol. So, number one, I needed more accountability. I knew that I was going to drink. And number two, the stigma is total BS, like I just mentioned. And I love podcasts. Like I said earlier, I listened to your podcast, Paul, and it was a tremendous tool in my recovery portfolio. And so I wanted to start a podcast to create more accountability for myself. And so I jumped right into AA, got a sponsor. I've done the 12 steps. I still meet with my sponsor. And I also started this podcast. First episode, I think, came out end of February, February 25th, 26th of 2015. And what's happened since then has really been remarkable. But first couple episodes, Paul, I didn't care who was listening. In fact, I knew my mom, my dad, my brother was listening, but I didn't really care. I selfishly created a podcast to create more accountability for myself. And then what happened after that? I started receiving emails. More people were listening. And we started opening up, I did these private Facebook groups that grew too quickly for me to manage. And I found a lot of the people in these groups, their motives weren't strictly recovery. And it was.
Was it something you would have considered, you know, if you hadn't got sober, I mean, would you go into podcasting anyway, maybe a different type of podcasting? Or was it, you know, just that new life that sort of put you in that direction?
That's a great question. For one, it's the stigma. The number one reason why I'm doing the podcast right now is the stigma. And I don't think for recovery, there's not a chance I would be doing a podcast. Not even a chance. I've listened to a lot of podcasts about health, about fitness, Entrepreneur on Fire. That's a great one for business podcasts. I always consume, right? But it was the podcast for recovery, A, that helped me. And I listened to a bunch of them. And I said, you know what? I think if I can create a podcast to help myself stay accountable, and maybe, just maybe, if there are a couple other people out there listening, then, well, I'm helping other people, and that's great.
And what is it about podcasting in particular? I mean, you could have just had a blog, you could have just gone on YouTube. I mean, what is it about, especially about podcasting?
Well, somehow I have a master's in higher ed. I'm not really sure how that happened, but grammar is not a not a strong suit of mine, and I can blab behind a microphone all day. I grew up DJing. I've done a bunch of weddings. I've used to DJ clubs. I used to own a bar in Spain, and I would DJ in clubs. And so I've always felt very comfortable behind a microphone. My hands on top of a keyboard, not very comfortable at all. And so that's the content why I decided to do a podcast. I already had a lot of the equipment. And plus, the cool thing about podcasts is you can consume that medium, the radio show, on demand while folding laundry, while going for a run, or cooking your favorite dish.
Yeah, that's a great thing about it, isn't it? Yes, I love podcasts myself, you know. And around, like, so since you've developed this podcast, you were sort of beginning to say that you've built this community. And tell me about that.
So the community before, they were free Facebook groups, and they got to be 500, 600, 700, 800 people. And like I said, some of the people weren't really fully dedicated to recovery. I found people in there that were selling books, selling cookbooks, their own fitness plans. And then when I did a little bit of research, they weren't even in recovery themselves. And I was being expected to work 30 hours a week doing a free podcast, doing a free Facebook group and everything. And I said, you know what? Something has to give. And there was a moment, Paul, when I considered just quitting everything. I said, you know what? I've got a year of sobriety under my belt, and this is too much work. And I almost said the three most dangerous words that an alcoholic, an addict can say, which is, I got this. And at that moment, and there was even people in the community that said, you can't stop doing this. This is a big resource. So I said, oh gosh, what do I do now? And so I launched Cafe RE, which is a paid monthly subscription. It's $12 a month, and they have access to a private confidential community. And we do online webinars in person with just the members. We do webinars with professionals, industry professionals. We have a Cafe RE book club. We have meetups. We're doing a retreat in August, and the members get a huge discount to that. But really, the bulk of it is the conversation in a private, confidential community where you can share whatever you're struggling with today. You can share your successes, your failures, and you can learn from others. Because if there's one thing that I've learned in recovery, is A, that we can't do this alone, and it has to be involved in a community. I have to be part of a community.
I know, speaking to you during the week, that you come across as quite a humble person, but why do you think it took off so quickly, and why do you think it's been so successful, your podcast? Don't be bashful.
No, well, thank you for saying that. As much as I'd like to think, Paul, that the podcast has tremendous production quality and my jokes are really funny and I put a lot of research into the episodes, and maybe there's a little of that, but more importantly, there are so many people out there in this world struggling with alcohol, with addiction, with mental illness, depression, anxiety, that I really just, if you build it, they will come types of things. The podcast could be so much better. I mean, not really too worried about that at this moment. Thank you very much for being humble. I just got to thank...
That's quite interesting what you just sort of suggest. So we talk about recovery, and you mentioned sort of all the anxiety, and which is obviously definitely a part of it. But do you sort of see who people who may not necessarily have an addiction problem but do have these other problems as kind of finding value in what you do?
it's funny you say that, Paul. I've probably received 2,000-3,000 emails from listeners at this point, and I think probably 10 to 15 to 20% of people are not alcoholics that listen to the podcast. And as you know, and we've all heard if we've been in recovery for a while, that drinking is but a symptom. And a lot of the issues are based on anxiety, depression, even some types of bipolar things can be rooted to anxiety and depression. And I know you're doing the interview right now, and listeners, I'm excited to have Paul on my own podcast coming in the next couple months, because we're going to get into some mindfulness, and that's Paul's nickname here in Thailand. Is everyone's like, oh, you got to go talk to mindfulness Paul. That's not his real name. His real name is just Paul.
You're really shocked when you found out it wasn't my real name, wasn't it?
Totally shocked.
Just boring Paul.
I was like, hey, mindfulness Paul. You're like, you know what? It's just Paul, but nice to meet you.
Yeah. But so, what would you, why would you say people would want to get involved in your community? I know you sort of said some of that, but for new people, because I think, you've got a community already there. So say somebody sort of brand new. I mean, why would they want to get involved with your community? And would this, seeing if it's such a big thing now, would they be made to feel welcome? Or would they feel welcome, or it's kind of overwhelmed by it all?
Great question. And I can answer the first one is a lot of people don't want to be involved in the community. And when people first start their journey into recovery, first start questioning, well, do I have a drinking problem? That's not when they join Cafe RE. They join Cafe RE after they've tried moderation, after they've put rules into place. I'm not drinking before 5 p.m. And we both know that that stuff just doesn't work. So a lot of these people, they don't want to be part of my community. But the pain points are strong enough where they're willing to do whatever it takes. And finally, they come across Cafe RE, and a lot of them have told me that, well, I saw Cafe RE 4 months ago, and my drinking has only gotten worse for the last 4 months, so I decided to join. And then the second part of your question, with the community being overwhelming, that's the next biggest hurdle that I'm going to have to encounter, is right now there's over 200 paid members. And I learned before with the other groups is that intimacy goes out the window with about 300 members. And if I wake up and there's 50 new subscriptions, that's a problem. Because it's like a nice, tightly knit neighborhood with the Jones, the Johnsons, the Andersons in the neighborhood. And all of a sudden, 50 new houses get built. It kind of compromises the community, and it's a difficult thing to navigate. And so that's the next biggest hurdle. But I'll happily accept that challenge when it comes.
And do you have people who sort of just begin, maybe for a long time, just listen to your podcasts?
That's a great question, too. We have, in fact, you've got a lot of great questions, Paul.
It's thank you.
Like prepare for this interview or something. I do. There's a lot of people that have, they join, they say, I've listened to 92 of your episodes, and then I finally decided to join Cafe RE. And like I mentioned, nobody wants to listen to episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or to 90. But it's because...
How many episodes is there?
Episode 100 comes out this next Monday.
A question I just have to ask you. So say you know you get somebody who sends you an email or something and says, you know, I've listened to all of your 100 episodes over the weekend. But what do you say to that person?
Well, it's a pretty cool email to get, is because I bet if I were to type the word binge, yeah. B-I-N-G-E,
yeah.
If I were to type that word binge in my email, I bet that would come up 100 to 200 times, because people say, I woke up one morning, I was desperate, and I binged listened to your podcast.
Because I definitely did that.
Yeah. I binged listened to your podcast. I think I listened to 4 in a row, which is like 3.5 hours straight of recovery.
Oh, poor you.
Not poor me.
That's desperation right there.
It was such a dirty podcast. Yeah. But really, it's better than binging with alcohol. Yeah, so you might be replacing one addiction with another, shall we say. Yeah. But it really, you can tell where somebody is on their journey when they can focus on the similarities and not the differences. Now, I'm going to say this one more time. You can tell where you are on your journey when you can focus on the similarities and not the differences. Because the emails where I get that say, oh my God, I heard my story in 99 episodes. Where do I sign up for Cafe RE? Determined or opposed to somebody saying, yeah, I can relate to some of your podcast episodes. Those are stark emails right there. Some people, it's called terminal uniqueness. If you're listening to the stories and you're saying, you know what, that guy is from Alabama, I live in Idaho, we're two totally different people, I think I got this. You're not quite as far as I would like you to be on your journey to quitting drinking.
Great comment. And listen, so say I'm, you know, there's going to be some people who are going to be interested. What would you recommend they do? So would you say go to your website, and would you say just listen to the latest podcast, or would you have a specific way that you'd suggest they get to know your community? Like begin with a specific the latest podcast. What should they do?
Absolutely. I would say start from episode 52 and move on. My first 10 to 20 episodes were atrocious. That's my own self-criticism. But yeah, start at episode 52 and start moving forward. And Cafe RE, you can cancel at any time. There's a $12 setup fee, because that's it. We can pair you with an accountability partner, and then you can use the promo code.
What's
R.
That?
Accountability partner is somebody, we pair you with somebody, I actually forgot to mention that has more sobriety than you. Right, so this whole program is based on accountability. And if you choose to, some people don't, you can sign up and say, yes, I would like to be paired with the accountability partner, and we will pair you with somebody geographically. If you're from Canada, we'll try to pair you somebody who lives in Canada as well. You try to pair you, say you're a female, you're 57, and you live in Vancouver. We're going to try to pair you with somebody as close to that as we can.
And how does that tend to work out?
It's been a learning curve. What I found is the accountability program has not been as successful as I thought it was going to be. And I just did a Survey Monkey and asked people what they find the most useful, and some of the questions were the accountability partner. And it's like anything. If you buy a gym membership and you don't go, you're still going to look flabby, right? You're still not going to gain any muscle. But the ones that have used the accountability program and have really accepted what it is, I mean, I see it daily in the posts. They say, hey, congratulations to my accountability partner for reaching, you know, this amount of days. Thank you so much to my accountability partner. Paul, there are people flying across the country to meet their accountability partners in person. And then there are also accountability partners that say, hey, can I get another accountability partner? Mine won't respond to me. And that's frustrating, but that's also a control issue that I've had to give up, is I can't make people talk to each other. I can't. And it's just, it is, you get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Slightly changing the subject, because like this, you know, your podcast, you know, it seems to have really sort of been the makings of your new life. Now, obviously it might be sort of bad for you and me if everyone went out there and started a podcast. But, you know, that type of thing, what advice would you give to people, you know, if they feel sort of drawn to maybe blogging or podcasts or YouTube? What type of advice would you give to them?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And I've had a lot of people email me and say, hey, I would love to start a recovery podcast. I would love to. Actually, I had a porn addiction. I have people saying, hey, I'd like to start a podcast on porn addiction. And you and I both know that, Paul, you're a guy of action. You started a podcast. You didn't have podcasts since 2014 and probably before that as well. That a lot of people would like to do things, but the action is sometimes so far outside of their comfort zone that they won't do it.
I just reminded me of something. I was actually thinking about this on the way in. I've written books and stuff like that. And when I got published, one of the most common emails I would get was people asking me, like, how could you get an agent? And I go, like, have you written a book yet? Oh, no. I go, no, write the book.
Yeah. It's like the 12 steps. So can I just, like, skip to 12 step here and just skip steps 0 through 11? You're right. And however, I wish there were hundreds more recovery podcasts. I wish there were hundreds more Facebook groups, because, Paul, this is where I got the idea for the private community Cafe RE. It was July of 2014. It was 1:56 in the morning, and I was scrolling on Facebook. I was typing in recovery community, recovery private group, right? The stigma. I didn't want anybody to know. I was scrolling, and I found a Bud Light Lime sponsored ad. Now, in the state of Montana, that gave me 4 minutes to get dressed, drive to the gas station, and I made it at 1:59, and just take a guess what I bought, and a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so I wish there were more recovery communities out there, because I'll be lying to you if I tell you that my recovery community is the only one that's right for you. No, there are communities out there that are for just women, for Buddhists. All kinds of different approaches. I'm not aware of many that are subscription-based, as in you're paying a monthly
I mean, I've support. Listened to your podcast. Very high. The whole thing, it seemed very high quality. Mm-hmm. That's definitely an impression I got. I was very impressed by the whole thing. It seems what you say, though, in regards to people sort of following your footsteps, because it's like what you did. You got out there and you did it, and then you worried about how you were going to do it. And that's the way I like to kind of do things. Would you recommend that approach?
I think one of the best things you can do if you're trying to get sober is come out of the closet. And if you want to start a podcast, I'm more than happy to help you. And like I said, I've gotten a lot of emails, and the people that I've helped, none of them have started the podcast. And I don't think it's so much because the hurdles of starting a podcast are that hard. You need a microphone, a computer, and, you know, an internet connection. That's really it. But I have interviewed, I think, 4 or 5 recovering alcoholics who are also gay, and every single one of them said that coming out of the closet as an alcoholic was more difficult than coming out of the closet as gay. However, I as well, when I came out of the closet as an alcoholic, I was terrified. I thought my friends were going to run for the hills. I thought no girl would ever talk to me. But the absolute opposite has happened. I have bolstered my friendships with everybody. There have been more dates than I have ever gone on in my entire life. And guess what? I'm still sober. I created accountability and it worked.
Yeah, I think that honesty and integrity really works. I mean, there were so many times, especially I remember with my blog, and I'd write something and I'm going, I just can't publish that. That's too honest. But I'd publish it and I never, ever regretted doing that. I've never regretted being honest. And I think, you know, it's only when we're very fearful about something that maybe it's meaningful. You know, that really, that it, this is too close to the bone.
And Paul, let me paint a picture for you and listeners right now. Imagine going to a function, a wedding, a New Year's Eve gathering where you have no secrets.
Yeah.
And you can go and enjoy yourself without asking, hey, do you have another Coors Light? You know, where's the bar? My questions now are, where are the coat rack? You know, where's the coat rack and where's the dance floor? Let's get this party started, right? It is liberating. It is absolutely liberating to not wear this secret on my shoulders that used to weigh thousands of pounds, because everybody knows it. And two things, like no one really cares. No one really gives a crap that I'm not drinking. And I found out that my real friends are real friends, because there were some people that kind of fell off the face of the planet. Those were my drinking problem, or those were my drinking friends. And that's the litmus test. If you need a substance, a liquid called alcohol, which is actually ethanol with a couple additives added to make it palatable, if you need that to be in the presence of a person, they're not your friend. You need to get new friends.
I noticed on your website you actually have a lot of posts and sort of and podcasts that actually go into these kind of things, that actually do talk about, you know, these specific things you've just mentioned, like, you know, dealing with friends, what drinks to drink. You know, I even saw on your Facebook, you know, you had, you know, what drinks to drink if you're not, you know. And I think that's really important stuff that's not really often mentioned. And I think that's a really valuable thing, you know, these are real things you've obviously had to deal with yourself.
Absolutely. And the majority of my podcast episodes, they come from emails saying, hey, could you ever think about doing a podcast episode about that? Because that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you guys.
What's the most unusual request you've got? Or the most one you'd never even touch with a barge pole?
Yeah, this is the funny thing. Songs about recovery, right? I did I think it's called just Songs About Recovery. I did one of them, and then 4 months later, someone was like, hey, I love that one. Can you do another one? And I did another post about songs about recovery. And I would have never thought to do that.
Yeah.
But then another one, like you said, people are asking, hey, what do I drink besides alcohol when I'm at a party? But let's dig down just another layer. What's the real question here? And the question is, how do I blend in? How do I attend social functions? And, you know, my short answer to that is, or to the drink, is a soda water, cranberry, and lime. A soda water with a splash of cranberry and a lime, squeezed lime. It's freaking delicious. It's better than any beverage you'll ever taste.
You can't go wrong with soda water anyway.
No, you can't, Paul. I mean, you're from Ireland. I mean, the fizzy water is something you're born with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because soda means something else in America, isn't it?
Yeah, we just do water without bubbles.
So soda is like Coke and stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what do you call soda water?
Actually, we just call it soda water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll just call it soda water. But if I'd order a Pepsi, I'd call it a Pepsi, all the Coke and a lime or whatnot. But really, you know, the underlying issue with that podcast was, what's the real question here? It's not what do I drink in recovery? Because if you go to any grocery store, I'm guessing the amount of beverages, it's probably a 3-to-1 ratio of non-alcoholic to alcoholic drinks. There's so many options. You got apple juice, you got orange juice, you got milk, you got Gatorade, you got every type of soft drink. There's some amazing drinks out there to drink. But really the question is how to blend in. And in some of them, when that is the question, there's one called ginger beer. I love ginger ale. It's called ginger beer. It's cock and bull is what it's called at bars. It's the main ingredient in a Moscow Mule. And you can actually hold this. There's no alcohol in it. It's a ginger beer. It's a nice ginger ale. And really, it looks just like a beer bottle. So if that's, you know, that's the question, I often order those at bars, not really because I want to blend in. Hell, I'd have an umbrella in my drink. It doesn't really matter to me. It's because it tastes really, really good.
I know, we're going to finish up soon. I noticed though at the end of your podcast, you did this quick fire round thing. Now, I'm not going to do that with you, but I find some of the questions very interesting. And one of the ones you ask, what is it, something to do, what's the best advice you get? What's that question?
So, two-part question. What's the best advice you've ever received regarding sobriety? And then what's the best advice, or what advice can you give to somebody who's thinking about quitting drinking?
Would you mind answering that?
Absolutely. The best advice I've ever received is you gotta go through it to get to it. And what that means is there are no shortcuts. I've looked high, I've looked low, I've looked underneath couch cushions for shortcuts. There's no pills, there's no magic things like that. If there are negative feelings, if you are detoxing from alcohol, you got to get through it. You got to go through these negative feelings to get to the other side. And advice that I have for other alcohol or other people out there struggling with getting sober is you have absolutely nothing to be ashamed about, right? It's the stigma. And if you think that you're the only one with a drinking problem, oh my God, you would be surprised. The podcast is approaching 1 million downloads. There are so many people out there struggling with alcohol. And often what happens when I say, you know what, I'm sober, the reaction is, oh my God, my mom. Oh my God, my cousin. You know what? I've also been questioning how much I've been drinking. So that is my advice. You have nothing to be ashamed about, because in 1956, the American Medical Association classified a disease or alcoholism as a disease, addiction as a disease. You have nothing to be ashamed about. So that's my advice.
That's brilliant. Thanks very much, Paul.
Paul, it was a pleasure to be with you. And I say that with absolute sincerity, because I recognize your voice. And again, when I first heard your voice, I was like, oh my God, literally, this is like a divine moment right now. Because
yeah,
I think
right.
that I looked up, I was like, where's this man? Where's this podcast? I'm hallucinating in my ears. But no, it was a real deal.
Paul, it's a small world, isn't it?
It is a small world. And look where recovery's taken us. You're from Ireland. You've been in Thailand for a while, and I'm halfway across the world visiting a gentleman that I interviewed on my podcast, Simon, I think episode 76 or 78. And at the end of our interview, he was like, you know what? If you're ever in Thailand, come check it out. And here I am. And Paul, it was an absolute pleasure to be chatting with you at this moment.
And I definitely encourage people to check out the podcast. I'll be linking to it from in our show notes. And to visit the Recovery Elevator website. Thanks a million.